Let's do this then. I'm going to jump into kind of a recap. Let's recap some. I don't have any candy. I would throw candy at my phone tonight, but I don't have any candy with me. And if I did, I promise I would keep it and eat it later because I'm going to be in a hospital all night. So we are just kind of an opener here. And do this. I think as we're getting some folks in, obviously my YouTube gang can't be in. I did notice somebody texted me. I think Clay McCarter texted me. Was it a video of your mom singing Jesus Loves Me, Clay? Was that what you were sending me? That would be awesome. Okay, do that. Get mom singing that Jesus Loves Me. That would make my day. I'd love that. And let's see if that happens. I think, let's do this. Maybe you could text me your response or you can punch it right in here. But I am going to track. I'm tracking the questions here. And I do know there's a bit of a lag, but I want to ask you anyway. Okay, so... Oh, that's what happened there. That's a bummer. Okay. That's what happened. A minute ago, I lost a whole page of my notes and I didn't reset it back up. And so that's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to do that real quick here. I think it was called 4. There it is. Okay. So I lost an entire page. It was all my review for tonight. That's what it was. Okay, so let me scroll down here. We're going to do some review questions from last week, okay? Let's do this. Does anybody remember there were two advantages to Faith Promise missions? There were two advantages, and I'll do it this way. There was first, it elevated our church's program to the place of prominence. It put the missions program up at the top where the Great Commission goes, right? That's what Faith Promise does. That's what giving financially to missions will do. There's a second advantage. Anybody remember that second advantage? I'll give you a second as you type in there. The second advantage. Anybody at all? Okay. Okay. Brent put out an idea. I'm using my laptop and it's just not letting me. I've got to do a whole bunch of coding and make sure all my code is correct before it'll let me, where the phone was going to let me do it naturally. So I'll just have to try to reach out to the YouTube group and see what we can't do there. So, okay. Anybody with an answer there? First, it elevates church missions program to the prominence Great Commission deserves. There's a second one. Anybody know what it is? Ooh, Brother Kitchens, hold on to that one. Hold on to that. That is literally an answer coming up. And now every answer is going to be grow our faith. Okay, so I'll give you the second one, okay? I don't see it popping up here. Second one is it fosters a direct personal connection between the... Hold on, Cheyenne Bishop. Wow, very cool. Never mind. I didn't even have to put it in there. Cheyenne Bishop nails it. Excellent. Brother McCurry nails it. Way to go. Yeah, it's a personal connection. That's it exactly. Way to go. It was a personal connection between the church and the missionary. And you know that's right. I mean, it's in the churches that have missions programs where kids are getting called into the mission field. What is that? That's that kid growing up watching that happen in the church. They grew up with missionaries as their heroes. Now, if you can, you know, if a missionary being there isn't a big deal to you, well, it'll be that for the child too. And in a church where their Faith Promise going, the exact opposite happens. And that is they see you get excited and you get financially behind missions. And it excites them. It pumps them up, and they have a direct connection to that. Not to mention your own personal connection. So that's exactly what happens. Giving to missions through the church draws a direct connection from you to the missionary you give to. That's awesome. Way to go, gang. Okay, let's see here. How many of y'all remember who is credited for the Faith Missions Program, the modern Faith Missions Program? Who is credited for that? What man gets the credit for that? Anybody at all? What's the guy? There's a breakdown here of time. That's a, yeah. He is a Canadian. A.B. Simpson, way to go, Tim Drinkard. Right on, Brother Highfield nailed it. Miss Hancock, does it just say a Canadian? Or is there more? Like, I'm afraid if I touch this that, no, I think you just said a Canadian. That's awesome. It is true. It is a Canadian, and his name is A.B. Simpson. Very, very good. Brother McCurry jumped in there, got it too. That's excellent. Way to go. That's right. I would love to, we'll just call him the Canadian from now on, okay? That's great. That's perfect. Okay, good. We jumped into 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 8. Hey, Brooke, good to see you. Thanks for jumping in tonight. Mallory, that's all she could remember. That's awesome. Hey, that's good. Bring what you know. I love it. Okay. So the Bible says 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 8. You'll remember, every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 8, okay? And last week we talked about five truths that those two verses teach us. Okay, so five truths. Can you name any of the five truths? Just any of those five. It's a particular kind of giving, and they all start with the letter P, okay? So it's, it's blank giving, and there's even a word or a couple of words that connect you back to that. If you can remember a couple of those, that'd be great. We don't have to do all five. I'm not gonna hold on for all five, but maybe we could remember some of those. That's great. That's right, it's positive giving. Way to go, Cheyenne. It's personal giving. Way to go, Tracy. Way to go, absolutely. It's possible, let's see here. Ooh, no, it's not promise giving. I love that you got the name in there. I'm sorry, it's purposeful giving, absolutely. Let's see here, somebody else put, hold on, it's moving past me. It's planned giving, that's right. It's planned giving, it's positive giving. Personal, good, persistent. Brother Heifel got persistent in there. And there's one other. We're so close. Proving wasn't it. Oh, yeah, proving was it. I'm sorry. I was going to say prosperous was it. It is proving. It's proving giving. And that is that God uses it to prove us or test us. Way to go. You got all five. My goodness. All right, I'm going to have to start setting the bar higher. You all are nailing it. Okay, let's see here. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 15, verse number 16. Brother Kitchens, here's where you want to have your, go ahead and get your answer, you know, keyed in there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15 to 16, not boasting of things without measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Okay, so according to that passage, there's three things that happen when we give. It's also closely connected to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. I went over that last week. But three things happen. And yes, Brother Kitchens, you nailed it. It is grow our faith. Wonderful. That is number one. When we participate in giving, we grow our faith. And of course, when we talk about faith growing, that's Christian growth. When we talk about a Christian growing, we're talking about them increasing in their faith. Home run. Good job, Brother Kitchens. You had it nailed down. That's the first thing that happens. Our faith is increased. Somebody know what the next step in the process is? There's two more. Anybody? Grows our faith. Good job, Megan. Absolutely. Grows our faith. And then there's a second one. Ministry is enlarged. Home run, Brother McCurry. That is the second one. Anybody know what the third one is? Ministry is enlarged. Our faith personally increases. Then our ministry is able to increase, and then something else happens beyond that as a natural response to that. Gospel shared, that's an excellent, really honestly, that is the right way of saying it. The gospel goes to regions beyond. Brother McCurry, you got that there too. Miss Mallory, I think you didn't say Canadian, so I think you get that one. That was good. And I don't know if, can I like these? Am I allowed to do that? I'm gonna just, there we go. We'll do that one. Okay, Mal, I like that one. The preaching goes further. That's what happens. So the three things that happen is we participate in our giving. Our faith is in, when we participate in giving, our faith is increased, ministry is enlarged, and therefore the preaching goes further. The gospel goes further. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. We're going to do this in quick order here, but there are eight biblical principles that I dove into. Yeah, it does glorify God, Octavian. You're exactly right, man. And every time the gospel is spread, that's exactly right. God gets the glory. And that's what missions is all about for sure. And so there's eight things, eight simple principles I shared with you that came out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. And when he talks about giving, what are some of the things that we need to have? So what's some of the principles that we need to understand when it comes to giving towards missions? I think I could get one of them queued up. It was in chapter 8, verse number 5. We first have to give. What do we have to give first? What do we have to give first? Yes, Cheyenne, you first have to give yourself. That's 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the very first principle found in verse number 5, chapter 8, you have to give of ourselves. Great job, Paul. Good job, Brother Wallentine. Way to go. Yes, Irene, you're exactly right. We give of ourselves. Okay, anybody remember the other seven? Just sorry, if you hear that buzz, there's a vending machine by me here. And I don't know if you can see it there. Sorry. Yep. Brother Chris. Hey, good to see you tonight. Absolutely. We give ourselves. And Emmy was the one. I love it. Emmy, don't let him take credit for that. You're exactly right. Okay, hold on here. Brother McCurry, the attitude must be cheerful. Home run, man. Absolutely. Yep. Cheyenne got that one too. That's exactly right. Be a cheerful giver. Way to go. Yeah, that's the second principle. First one is we give ourselves. Second one is we got to do it cheerfully. It's an attitude. Someone else. There's a few others here. Positive heart in our giving. Let's see here. I don't see it there, but that's great. Yeah, we do it faithfully. Emmy, you're exactly right. We have to do it faithfully. And let's see here. How about it proves our sincerity of our love? That's exactly right. It does. It proves the sincerity of our love. And how about this? Okay, in verse number 3, giving demonstrates our desire to what? No one is exempt from participating. Absolutely right. Give out of our need, not out of our abundance. That's principle number 3. Exactly right. We give out of our need, not out of our abundance. You have to have the sincerity. That's exactly right. And it does. It demonstrates. Now, there's a couple things it demonstrates. Point number 4 was it demonstrates our gratitude for all that Christ has done for us. I think that's kind of what people are getting around when they talk about the sincerity. It demonstrates our desire to further the work of God, right? Let's see here. And people are in there about spreading the gospel. You're exactly right about that. But we give out of our, no one is exempt. Brother McCurry said that a minute ago. No one is exempt from participation in faith promise. Exactly right. Somebody else? I don't care who gets the credits. they're going to get that ironed out for me, Brother Ken. I appreciate that. If you could iron that out, that'd be great. Okay, there's just one other. You guys nailed all of them here. There was one. God promises the power to abound in giving just as he promises the other means of grace. Okay, so when we give by grace and recognize that the same grace it takes to show love to somebody who mistreats you, the same grace it takes to show patience when things are hard, the same grace that it takes to demonstrate a heart of love or of peace or of long suffering or gentleness, it's the same exact grace that's needed when it comes to giving. It is grace that Christ gives in and through you. He gives to you, and then, of course, by His grace, He gives from you. And so do keep that in mind. All right, let's dive into our lesson for tonight. And we did a great review. My goodness, y'all are awesome at the review. And I love review time. I could review all day long because I do love reviews. I'm going to jump in here. I want you to keep, last week I closed with a simple thought here, okay? And I closed with a simple thought. Faith promise missions is a biblical pattern, okay? So why should we as a church give commitments to the Lord? I don't think we're going to find a command in Scripture where God says, you know, you have to give you have to give commitments to the church, and then you need to give. You're not going to find that in the Word of God. I will go ahead and say that means that we have some liberty here. And it leads us to this greater principle, this greater argument. And the question is, are we required to do more than the Bible says? And I would say no, we're not ever required to do more than the Bible says. At the same time, it does not then forbid us from doing more or doing what He offers us in a different way. There's some who say, well, to be biblical means you only do what the Bible says. And then there's others who would say, well, to be biblical is to only not do what the Bible tells us not to do. I find that there's lots of liberty when it comes to my Christian walk. And in that liberty, I'm really free, the Bible tells us, to even serve greater. And so, no, there's nowhere in the Bible that says we should do online services. In fact, it tells us to do the exact opposite. It tells us to, you know, that as we meet together, right? Well, we're not meeting together. But in the first century, they didn't use video cameras. Well, we don't think there's anything wrong with that. We do, in a weird way, we are meeting together. Oh, by the way, I can't wait until we are physically meeting again together. But we recognize that there's nothing in that that would tell us we're not allowed then to meet online. Well, we're free to meet online. Just because it wasn't mentioned in the Bible does not mean we're not allowed to do it. There's liberty there. And so it is with Faith Promise Missions. I don't think the Christian should be bound to any law, because you're not bound to any law. And we went through this in session number 2. I talked at length about grace there. I want you to experience the grace of God. And the grace of God is not forced by the law. Instead, the grace of God comes from a life that is living out God's Spirit. And so we recognize here that we use Faith Promise Missions. And we're going to talk about commitments here tonight, but I don't in any way want to make another law for the Christian to have to then follow. But there's nothing in Scripture that tells us we can't make commitments to one another, because we have seen the advantages. We have seen that we do have some commandments when it comes to caring for ministers of the Word. And we can see all of those pieces connected. So then the question is, okay, how do we take care of them? We see a pattern in Corinthians. Is there anything wrong with using that pattern? And I would say loudly, no, there's nothing wrong with us using those patterns. In fact, I think it would be advantageous and beneficial, but we don't then take an opportunity to put ourselves back under the bondage of, well, now I have to give this way. I think the reality is we just give because that's what Christ would do through us. And if we use this system or we don't use the system, I don't think God's in heaven, you know, sharpening His arrows because we did wrong somehow. No, I think God wants to use our giving. He wants to use His grace through us. And one of the tools that we use is Faith Promise Missions. And I mentioned that last week. The benefits of that is, why do we make commitments? The first is we do see a pattern in the Bible. And I want to look tonight at one of those grace patterns in Scripture and just kind of draw your mind to it tonight. Secondly, it gives us a sense of accountability. I like the accountability I get from Faith Promise Missions. I like knowing that I'm not the only one in the church given to a missionary. I think it's exciting when I know that I'm part of a whole group of people. And where I couldn't give, you know, in our church, we give upwards of $70,000 a year. And there's churches that are smaller than ours that give, you know, give more than that. There's churches bigger than ours that give less than that. I don't think there's a number we've got to reach, except I'd always like to do more for the cause of Christ. But when it comes right down to it, our church makes commitments to each other. We're not making commitments to some board out there, some head or some organization out there. We make commitments to each other. And I love the accountability of that. And to know that I can't do $70,000 by myself, but your giving and my giving and somebody else on the video chat with us, they're giving, and somebody else, they're giving, and they're giving. And all of us together are able to do far more than we could do apart. And I love that. And it does provides the opportunity of accountability. Third thing is it allows us to steward our missions responsibilities. It allows us to take on 10 new missionaries because we know we have the money to take care of those missionaries. We wouldn't have the freedom to take on the 3 new missionaries that we took on this year if we didn't know the money had already been promised. And so because of the giving of our people and the promises that they've made, we know that the monthly finances will be there for us to take on some new missionaries. So we took on 3 new missionaries this month. That's exciting, but it happens because of this program, Faith Promise Missions, okay? And so then I want to build on that idea. I want to ask you, do you think God cares about our promises? Does he care about the promises that we make? Does he care about my intention of the future where I want to watch him use my life in a powerful way? And I want to see him do more through me this next year. So then for me to make commitments towards that, do you think that that honors the Lord or dishonors the Lord? Well, I think scripture can even speak to that, okay? So we find in scripture, God cares about our promises, or at least he cares about the attitude with which we make our promises to him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, in verse number 6 and 7, the Bible says, "Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at my voice and destroy the work of my hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God." Now in this text, he's simply saying, hey, look, we don't make promises to God flippantly. Don't do it. Don't say, hey, God, I'm gonna do this thing over here for you. And then when the time comes for you to do it, you don't do it. That doesn't work. Jesus used a principle. He said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. In other words, just it would be better for you not to say anything and go do good things than it would be for you to make a promise and then not fulfill that promise. And that comes out of the character of Jesus Christ, that our yea would be yea and our nay would be nay. And it is how we view the faithfulness of God to his word is often summed up in how faithful we are to our word. If I took the Bible here tonight and I said, now look, his word, every word of this book is true. Except for this one right here. This one right here is the only one in it that's not true. You would say, oh, whoa, 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 hold on. You don't get to pick it out like that. You're not going to just pick one. Either A, you're a liar and that word is true, or none of the words are true and they're all suspect, and I'm going to get to pick and choose which one I think is true, and you don't get to just come tell me that one word that's not true. And I could come up with all sorts of ideas about why this one was the only one, but you would say, hey, look, if God can let one word in that's not true, what's to keep him from letting a bunch of words in that aren't true? No, we're not going to heed the word if it isn't true. This is God's attitude towards your word. If your word is not trustworthy, then you're not representing the one on whose word you stand. And so this is why he speaks of commitments. He talks of commitments because he recognizes it is a reflection, our word and our faithfulness to our word is a reflection of God and the faithfulness, his faithfulness to his word, okay? And so our flippant I don't want to say disrespectful, but that's kind of the word that floats into my mind here. Our flippant attitude about keeping our promises many times says more about how we view God. In other words, oftentimes if we can make a promise in one point and then break the promise, it indicates to us that there is a superstitious spirit, superstitious attitude, that we actually are approaching God as some sort of superstitious act. And making promises and breaking them is usually a clear indicator that we think God is some kind of talisman. And so we go and use it over here and maybe it'll work out for us. And if it works out for us, great, then we're fine. And if it doesn't work out for us, and we don't have to keep our end of the deal. Now, God's not a superstitious entity. We're not going to appease him or displease him based on superstition. His pleasure is based on Jesus Christ alone. And therefore, there's nothing you can or cannot do that's going to disprove and make God disapprove of his own child. Therefore, keeping our word is merely an opportunity for us to reflect the God who is faithful with his word. And so I want you to consider here what this means for us to make a promise. And maybe it is just, maybe it is just because, we just had a child here this morning and early afternoon rather. And as I've been sitting here in the hospital just thinking about it, my mind ran to a lesson, kind of a Sunday school lesson that was written out of a periodical some time ago. And I went and found it and I brought it in. I had used it in some of my studies last year and had set it off to the side. And I just thought it was a great understanding of our promises. It's not mine originally. Like I said, it was part of a packet of material I was studying and getting ready for some lessons and such. And so I'm going to give you the lesson here tonight. I'm simply trying to read because I had put credit. There it is. The Sunday school lesson is developed by Kevin Brosnan of Baptist World Missions, and he's the field administrator there. And I just wanted to share this lesson with you tonight. I thought it was mighty, and maybe it's because I'm sitting here in the hospital tonight with my wife just having had our fifth. I want you to take your Bible and go with me to 1 Samuel tonight. 1 Samuel, let's go to chapter 1. Many of you know where I'm going there. I'm talking about, of course, Hannah. So in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we have a mother who just wants a child. And she just wants a child. And her whole heart, her whole being is wrapped up in this child coming. And we find something beautiful about how God... In Hannah's story, you don't ever find God condemning Hannah for not measuring up. You find God blessing Hannah because of her willingness just to trust the Lord. And I love that. I think it's powerful here. And so I want to look at that tonight. You're in 1 Samuel with me in chapter 1. We're going to be in verse 27. And it's here at the end of the child, at the end of the chapter, excuse me. And verse 27, he says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And that is a fulfillment of a promise that Hannah made at the beginning of chapter 1. She wanted a child. She was heavy and burdened to have a child. And she made this promise to God, "God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you." And verse number 27, verse number 28 is the fulfillment of Hannah. It is a fulfillment of her promise to her God. And I think that's a powerful, beautiful picture for us. And we want to know if God cares about our promises. Hannah knew God cared about our promises. And so I want you to consider a couple things with me, okay? I want to encourage you to use the idea of faith promise when we give to missions, because what it does is it allows us to decide ahead of time what we believe God could do in and through our lives. That's all faith promise missions giving is about, is it's about asking God to use us in his mission, in his purpose. And so when you give, you pray that way. You don't pray out of, well, what would make Pastor happy? Well, Pastor won't know, so you're not going to make him happy. Well, what will make God happy? Well, God's already happy. If you're born again in Christ Jesus, then Christ has already taken away all the blame, all the shame, all the regret, all the heartache. He took all that away, and now you stand covered in Christ, the Bible tells us. And so God's already pleased in you. And if you're trying to run around and please God as if somehow he's a distempered being, you might find yourself misunderstanding God. The reality is God is pleased through one person, and that's Christ Jesus. He's not pleased in Jeremiah. He's pleased in Jesus Christ. When he sees Christ come out in me through giving of grace and all the graces that Christ wishes to live in and through me, then God is pleased, okay? So we recognize that when it comes to faith promise, it's not to somehow please God, but rather it is understanding that God is willing to work in and through you. So if we look at it that way, then what we see when we talk about faith promise is we're understanding faith promise is this. Number one, faith promise is asking God for something. Faith promise missions giving is asking God for something. That's what faith promise missions is about. It's recognizing that I want to give from a place of sacrifice, as we talked about just a second ago. I want to give from my need, not from my abundance. And if that's the case, then, in other words, I don't go to my account and say, okay, look, I get an extra 10 bucks a month coming in. I'm going to throw that at this thing. That's not the spirit behind Faith Promise Missions. Faith Promise Missions is driven by a church that says, I don't care what the cost is. I got to see more people come to Christ. We have to see more Kurdish people come to Christ. And by the way, I was going to bring, I got a New Testament in the mail this last week. And our friend from Kurdistan, who was with us at the beginning of this month, I'm not going to mention his name, but he sent me one of their New Testaments. When we get back to the church, I'm going to bring it down and have it out at the church. I want you to see it. It's just so beautiful. And to imagine that, you know, this is one of the very first, you know, it's one of the very first New Testaments in the Kurdish language. And to imagine we get to be a part of spreading that, it's just powerful. And so when it comes to faith promise, what we're asking is not, hey, how much money do I have left at the end of the month? The question is, God, how can you use me to further the gospel? What can I sacrifice now so that I can see the gospel further? That's what the question is. The question can't be, hey, God, you know, I've got a little bit left over and, I've got a little bit left over. God, you can have that. That's fine. It's all well and good. But understand, that's prosperous giving. When it comes to our faith promise, we're talking about giving from a need, okay? So I want you to remember that at its core, faith promise is asking God for something. Remember last week we looked in 2 Corinthians 8:3, and he said, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. In other words, they gave and they wished they could give more. I know that many of you have experienced that. You've experienced that. I just wish I had more to give. I'm serious. I see that in the spirit of South Molewood over and over and over again, is that attitude of, I'm giving, I wish I had more to give. If I had more to give, I would give because I want to be a part of what Christ is doing. That is what God is trying to do by His grace in and through your life. It's not, yeah, I've got some extra. The spirit of it is, God, would you let us do more? God, would you give us a bigger place? Would you give us more of a reach? Would you give us more effectiveness to see people who don't even have a Bible in their language, to see them get that New Testament? That's a powerful way of looking at missions. And oftentimes, it's different. It's backwards of the way that is easiest for Christians to fall into. It means that we're going to ask particularly. You know, in verse number 11 of 1 Samuel 1, she asks a specific request. She vowed a vow, and she said, Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon my affliction, upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. She was specific in her request. That's why we encourage our Sunday school classes to adopt missionaries. I want you to adopt a missionary family, and your family's going to pray for that family. Why do we do that? Because we're going to pray specific kind of requests. God, let us see more people in India saved through the church planting effort there. Lord, let us see more churches planted. You know, they're in the Philippines. It's amazing to me that, you know, the one church there, Mountain View, has planted up far above 30 churches at this point. But then many of those churches, these little bitty churches that meet in a hovel off the side of the road, those churches have planted other churches all over. And there were multiple churches, while we were in the Philippines a few years ago, there were multiple churches that had churches planted all over the countryside. Now, if there's 30 churches there in Mountain View, there were churches who had planted 30 of their own churches. That is mind-blowing to me. But that is done by that spirit that says, God, I specifically want to see you do this. So we have a specific request when it comes to missions. And we can ask specifically, God, would you let me give X? Would you let me give more? Would you let me give 10% more than I did last year? Would you let me give 5% more than I did last year? Would you let me give more? And that's really the spirit and attitude when it comes to missions giving, okay? There was a particular request and a particular answer was given. And by the way, if you make a particular request, write it down so that you'll know when that particular request was answered. God rejoices over giving us exact answers to our exact requests. Brother and Mrs. Davidson, good to see you all here. Thank you for being on here with us tonight. And you know, he receives more glory. I do believe he receives glory when he answers our specific requests. And so at its core, Faith Promise Missions is asking God for something. It also means we have to ask purposefully. In other words, there has to be a reason beyond our giving. It's not, God, let me give so that people in the church think something special of me. It is, why do I give? I give so that people can be saved. I give so the churches can be planted. I give so that we can reach more people. And that's the attitude behind. There's a purpose. Many times the reason we wane in our faithfulness is because we forget the purpose of our faithfulness. And some of the best ways to help me be faithful is to just remember why I do what I do. Sometimes it's hard to keep serving over and over and over and over and over again, especially when I make it about my comforts or when I make it about people's, you know, whether they like or dislike me. But when I remember why I got into what I do, why I do what I do, when I remember why I teach Sunday school, when I remember why I minister to this family or that family, it reminds me that it reminds me of the purpose behind it. That purpose drives me towards faithfulness. So sometimes we just remember the purpose behind our giving. And that was for sure with Hannah. She remembered the purpose behind it. And we recognize that there is a purpose behind our giving. You know, the Bible says it was Jesus who taught us in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. God has blessed you so that you can bless. God has blessed you so you can bless. Something I'm constantly keeping in front of my own children. I want them to remember that it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And if that ever changes, we'll go in and we'll change it in the Bible and we'll fix it. But it hasn't changed in all these years. It still is more blessed to give than to receive. And so I remind tonight, we ask with purpose. We ask. We also ask persistently. And we talked about that last week. We're not going to dive into it at great lengths, but just be faithful in your giving and faithful in your prayer. Remember, Faith Promise is asking God for something. Faith Promise is relying upon God to answer that request. Faith Promise is not me taking the work into my own hands and doing something with it. Instead, Faith Promise is relying upon God to answer the requests that I've made. There is one God, right? There's no substitutes. There's some well-meaning people out there, but nothing is going to take the place of God. There's well-meaning organizations. Nothing takes place of God's plan. And so we simply rely on God's plan. Why? Because God is going to answer. If I've got to work and finagle and twist and bend and manipulate, where have I left room for God to do the work? No, Faith promises me allowing God to do the work and meet the need, okay? Truth is, there's one God. There's only one God who can supply the need. There's only one God who can supply the need. Trust God for the money. Trust God for the means. Trust God for the job that you don't even know is coming. Trust God for those things. I'm not doing some name it, claim it, you know, you've got to give and you need to give. I just nailed that down. Giving is by grace. Grace is giving is the grace. And so I'm talking about letting God, by his overcoming power, give through you. And that grace is where you're going to find the strength to give, not by some manipulation or twisting tactic that I can come up with or you can come up with. We trust God for it. And then Faith Promise is receiving that answer. Faith Promise is receiving that answer. We recognize, I love that God lets us give a part, be a part of giving as if I was the one who came up with the money in the first place. You know, I got up and I went to work, but I'm grateful my body worked this week. My body doesn't have to work. There's young men my age, young men, notice what I did there. There's young men, by the way, you know I'm lying. When a young man says my age, he doesn't say that. Only old men say my age. And so we recognize that, you know, there's young men who that didn't have the body to get up and go to work this week. They didn't have the strength. They didn't have the job. They lost all of it. If you know, they've lost it all this last 2 weeks. They didn't have anything. And they're trusting in God to provide it for them. You know, so I may have, and I have because God has allowed me. That's the reality, is I think I have because I went and did, or I've done this, or I've done. No. All of that's a facade. Christ is the one giving. His means to do so is up to him. So you let him do so by his own means. And so we recognize the faith promise is God answering it. And then faith promise is us returning it back to God. And isn't that what Hannah did? To Hannah, you know, she had that son. God gave her that son. She had every right to keep it, except for one thing, and that is that she knew she had the son because God had answered her request. And because of that, she needed to go back and give it to God. And that's really what we're doing. That's all we're doing when it comes to our own giving. It's simply us giving back what God has given to us. And so, like Hannah, faith promise is just us returning to God what's his. That's all it is. It's just us returning to God, able to be a part of giving, because that's how it works. He's allowed us to be a part of the process. Could God fund world missions without us? Sure. He sure didn't choose to. And he allows us to be a part of that process. Could God have saved the people of Israel without Samuel? Yeah. Could he have saved them without Hannah? Yeah. But because of Hannah, God was able to save the people. And now Hannah's been brought in to the story of Samuel, brought in to the story of God leading his people back to walk right with him. That's amazing. God let Hannah be a part. God would let you be a part. God has a big picture for Israel. God has a big picture for the lost in this world. And he allows us to be a part of it because of faith, promise, missions, giving. And so you think about how she gave back to the Lord with grace. It had to take a lot of grace to put her little boy in the hands of Eli. And by the way, something that she probably didn't know that we do know is Eli wasn't that great of a leader. And she left Eli, her son. And then, you know, years would go, at points through the year, she'd come back and visit him and see him. She'd have a new little coat for him. Why would she have a new coat? Because he's been growing. She knows her son is growing the entire time she's not there. Her little child is growing and growing and growing. She's got to keep bringing new clothes because the clothes he was wearing, he's grown all out of them. It was a reminder to us that her son that she loved desperately and needed desperately is now growing outside of her own line of sight. And God allowed that and used that to salvage and save the people of Israel in their worship of God. And you and I recognize that God does more through us that we can't see than we could ever imagine. And God would use your faithfulness to grow and increase the impact of the gospel around the world. So a couple of things here I just want to put in front of you. Just let me remind you tonight. Number one, faith promise is requesting something from God. Faith promise is relying upon God to answer. Faith promises receiving the answer from God, and faith promise is returning it to God.